We have been in a series, and it's been a good one. How many enjoyed the series, Moving, getting ready for a move of God and moving into the things that God has set up for us, next steps and things that he's moving us into? So we are really preparing for a move of God, not a move of God that looked like yesteryear, but a move of God that is present day. I said, I'm glad for what God did in the past, but how many know the Lord can do something greater in the days ahead than he even did in the days past? So that's what we're believing God for. Next slide, if you don't mind, we'll move right into it. If you can get it on the TV, that would be great. There you go. But that's not the first slide. That is in the middle of the message somewhere. So the slide after that one is the one I'm looking for. And go. Nope, not the one I'm looking for. I don't know what happened, but how many want God to enlarge your territory? Hey, there we go. There we go. Thank you, sister. I'm glad that thing, sometimes that computer can get a little wonky. And so the old people don't know what wonky is. Young people, you might have to help the old people not know what wonky is. Wonky is, I don't even know what wonky is. I think it's jacked up. All right. So here we go. Can we go to the slide before that one? Isaiah 43, 18 and 19. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I do a new thing, says the Lord. It shall spring forth. Shall you not know about it? Are you going to be involved in it? I will even make roads in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Can somebody shout amen to that? Thank you. Next slide, please. I just want to give you, that was our series text. And now we're moving into this last message. So next slide, if you don't mind, our text in the last 2 weeks, we've been talking about praying forward. And the prayer of Jabez today is moving into change, part two. So we've been there a little bit. We've been in the prayer of Jabez because I just hardly couldn't get off of it. Let's check it out, Miss Sandy. Let's check it out. 1 Chronicles 4, 9, and 10. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. But Jabez cried out to God in prayer, to the God of Israel. Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm. So that, anytime you see so that in the Bible, it means this is the purpose by which he prayed. So that I will be free from pain. And God granted his request. How many believe God answers prayer? Amen. Next slide, please. This is the prayer we went over last week. I'm just going to review it really quickly. Bless me indeed. We talked about that. It wasn't selfish. Enlarge my territory. Take me to new places. Let me do new things. Keep your hand upon me. Lord, don't take your hand off of me. How many glad the hand of God has been on Oak Grove? We never want him to take it off. We need him. Next slide. And keep me from evil. That was our last week. And so the final slide there on the last week. Why? So that I might not cause pain to anyone. Or live in pain. Freedom from pain is what Jabez wanted. They had tagged him. They had labeled him pain. But he learned how to praise his way through it. Can you say amen to that? So our message in the series, we moved into freedom. We moved into miracles. We moved into the mission of God. We moved into praise, from pain to praise. Last week we talked about prayer, lesson one. And today we're going to close out the series. The most powerful weapon God ever gave us is prayer. Amen? And so every time God would command the Israelites to move into new territory, he would have Judah go first. Judah means praise. He put praisers. Jehoshaphat, remember that? He put the praisers in the front. Anytime they wanted to go into battle or have anything they wanted to do, taking new territory, they would put the praisers ahead of time because praise will make way for whatever else you need. And we got to learn how to praise the Lord. And so praise is a form of prayer. And every time we want to move into change, we're going to have to learn how to move into more of God, more of prayer. James chapter 5, that might be there. Thank you. Chapter 5, verse 16. The effective, fervent prayer of the righteous avails much. The word avail just means it produces much. A praying church is a healthy church. A praying church is a strong church. Amen? And so James is trying to help us to know that praying helps you move into more of God, to experience more of God, to experience change. And even the prayer of Jabez, change your name from pain to praise and learn how to pray. And even Jesus said in Luke 18:1, men ought always to pray and never give up. You got to keep on believing and keep on praying. And this is serious because Mark 10:21, Jesus told the rich young ruler this phrase. It just haunts me. This one thing you lack, go your way, sell all you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. There's condition there. And then he said, and come, take up your cross and follow me. I submit to you this morning, church, if you're going to change, if you're going to follow Jesus, you're going to have to be men and women of prayer. You're going to have to find a way to learn how to pray, learn how to praise, and not just pray and seasons and different times where you need God, but make your whole life a walking, living prayer. 24/7. I mean, we always need to be dependent upon the Lord. And so, can y'all hear me okay this morning? I know school started, and I know you might be a little fatigued, but turn this thing up because they're not responding. How many know prayer is vital? It's vital. It's vital to the kingdom. It's vital for you. It's vital for me. And so this one thing you lack, it haunts me. It haunts me. And when it comes to the subject of prayer, we could all probably say one thing we lack. So this is not a guilt trip. It wasn't last week either. This is spiritual training. So, hi, I'm Ron Moran, and I am your coach. I'm not saying I mastered prayer. I'm not saying I've got it all figured out. I'm telling you, I've learned through all the serving years, 43 years of serving the Lord next month, I've learned that you better learn how to pray. Men ought always to pray. Learn how to lean. If you're going to follow Jesus, you're going to have to follow him into the mountain in prayer. You're going to have to follow him into the garden in prayer. Everywhere Jesus went, he prayed to the Father. Jesus was a walking prayer. And he's saying to the rich young ruler, you're missing out on a lot of stuff because you lack one thing, commitment, devotion. How many are ready to move into change? If there's a tender nerve in the body of Christ this morning, it's a source of frustration for believers. It's that area of prayer. Pastor, we can't read the Bible enough. We can't pray enough. And I get that. I get that. But this is not a class to beat you over the head and tell you, pray. That's what insecure pastors do to make, you know, them feel good. Because many of those who are asking their body to pray don't even pray themselves. The average prayer for the preacher is about 7 minutes a day. I mean, no, that's a travesty. I said, that's a travesty. And we need to pray. We need to be people of prayer, leaders who pray. We need to be people who think about and preserve prayer as a discipline in the body of Christ. So it can be a source of frustration, but I want to lighten things up. I want to lighten things up. Here's what I know. Your attitude will determine your altitude. Your attitude, your mindset about prayer. So praise and prayer are synonymous, if you ask me. And you can start your prayer, the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer, is worship and adoration. Our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name. How many know that's worship? Learn how to praise the Lord. Call him by his name. Call him, let him know, you know that who he is, and you know where he is. He's in heaven, right? And you know what he's there to be adored and worshiped and honored. So we need to learn how to praise and prayer. So I'm going to lighten it up a little bit. Max, I'm going to make a couple of songs, Max. I'm going to make two songs here. They're going to play it. And we're going to see. One song is for the younger generation, and one's for the other generation. Let's start the younger one first. Young people, we got to learn how to pray. This is some praise in your vernacular. Hit it.
That's why I'm singing that I'm about to have a good day.
Hey, come on now.
No matter what they say.
You can have a good day. No matter what they say. That's Frank. Mr. Frank, sing it to you. It just makes you, come on, sway in your pew. No, you can't hang.
Knows me by my name, so it's a good day.
It's a good day. There you go. Tammy's got it. Na 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 na. That's okay. You can kill it. They're looking at me like, what is he doing? Nah, 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 nah. Hey, hey, it's an attitude. You know how many years the church had war going on between what song we're going to sing? It's a good day. And if you sing it that way, or maybe you'll sing it this way. Let's give it up for the more mature people. See what we have. Woo-hoo! Get your tambourine!
There's a happy land of promise over in the great beyond, where the same river shows in their glory share. Yeehaw! Where the souls of men shall enter and live on forevermore.
Everybody
will be happy over there.
Everybody
will be happy
over there.
You should have seen y'all. I mean, them elderly people came unglued. Somebody sang my song. I just thought some of you'd take off running. Throwback Sunday. What's the point, Pastor? Jesus takes praise and prayer seriously. I mean, seriously. And at church, you ought to praise the Lord. In fact, you shouldn't wait till Sunday morning when you walk through the door. You should develop a mindset about how you're going to give God his due diligence, his praise, his honor, his worship, and get ready when you walk in here. You're only just saying amen to what he did for you all week. We're praising the Lord. How many know by the grace of God, he kept you breathing this week? By the grace of God, he brought you blessings this week. He got you here this week. You survived the first week of school. We made it. We made it. And if we make it to the end of September, I'm going to praise the Lord. Amen. I believe it. And so that was just a little something to understand. This is not a guilt trip. You have to get a mind to change. And a praise mind and a prayer mind is a mind that understands what direction. You see, desire leads to direction. And he who desires the Lord, look what the Word of God says. If you delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. So it's all relational. This is not a petition. The Lord's not like a Santa Claus that we just go to him with our needs. He's our Father. He's our Father. And so it's a big time relationship. And prayer is serious, and we should all take it very serious. Before Jesus decided to call the 12 disciples, he spent time with the Father. Before he went to the cross, he spent time with the Father. Even right now, he is at the right hand of the Father praying for you and for me. How many think that's pretty comforting to know that God loves you and he cares for you and he's praying for you right now? The only time I see in the scripture where the Lord was not happy, he got really heated, was when he walked into the temple and chased out the money changers. And this is what he said. My house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. You have taken my house and my disciplines and my intentional things to get you to change, and you made it something than it is. And so also when the disciples saw Jesus every day for 3.5 years in his ministry, the one thing they asked the Lord, I looked throughout the Gospels, they asked for one thing. Lord, teach us how to pray. They saw him moving to the mountains, moving into the garden, moving everywhere he went. They saw him going after prayer, after God, and worship. And they said, we want that. It's the one thing they asked for. And so I'm not sure what you think prayer is, and I know it's a privilege, but can I tell you this morning, it's also work. Prayer takes work. If you're going to dig for gold, gold just doesn't pop up on your front lawn. Oh, there's a piece of gold. I'm going to pick it up, put it, and bring it to the bank. I mean, if you're going to get gold, you have to dig for it. Those are valuable elements that are found deep in the earth. And if you're going to go deeper into Christ, you're going to have to change. And to get change, you got to have to evoke prayer in your life. It's hard work. It's labor. At times, it's warfare. And we need to have the right mindset for prayer to make it relational and not work. Make it meaningful and not just work, but worship. So what is effective praying? Simply put, prayer is accessing our covenant with God. That's what prayer is. It's accessing our covenant with God. How many have a covenant with the Lord this morning? Come on, let me see your hand. And you say, I have a covenant with God. I am in relationship with Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Come on. How about we do it at the same time? How many love Jesus and have a relationship with Jesus? There you go. Woo, don't try to freak me out. If you don't have a relationship, how many know today you can have one? Today is the day of salvation. You can come into the kingdom of God. You can come into the family of God. You can understand what covenant is. If you're a covenant with God, you have access with God. Everybody believe that? You talk to God. You commune with God. You enjoy His presence. And just let me be frank. The Bible declares that God communes with His people. The only prayer that God hears from sinners, and God bless, He loves sinners, but listen, He communes with the saints. He communes with the people that's in relationship. He died for all of us. There's this idea today that just everybody has access to God. But listen, the only way to get access to God is through Jesus Christ, His Son. When you surrender your heart, will this truth preach? The only way to come into a relationship is through Jesus. We've been hindered from God's presence. We've been put away from God's presence. The only way back in is through His Son, Jesus Christ. And when you have Jesus, you have access. That's the real truth. A lot of folks have been lying to people, thinking everybody can do anything they want. But the first prayer He hears from you is, be merciful to me, a sinner. Then you gain access to God's heart, His ears, His hands, His everything. And the idea that you can walk in intentional sinful behavior and be, you know, close to Jesus is absurd. You can think it in your head, but how many know your heart and your head need to line up? The Word of God is true, and you will ask what you desire if you have Him in your heart. John 15:7, if you abide in me, big if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then, somebody shout then, that's the conditional statement, then you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Now that's the way it works. Right? It's Jesus. I said it's the name of Jesus that gives us access to the Father. And so it was a serious covenant. I said it's a serious covenant. And it's like the one God made with Abraham. How many know God and Abraham made a covenant? And there had to be a sacrifice. So He killed the bull and He put it in the middle and they made a sacrifice. In the condition with Abraham, it was linear. It was a unilateral. In other words, God is the one. Abraham put to sleep, right? How many know that God, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us? That's called a unilateral covenant. That means we didn't do anything. He did everything. All we do is receive what He's already done. And that's how we have access to God. Is that simple enough? If you want to change, if you want a personal relationship with Jesus, you have to, if you want to know God and speak to God and hear from God, you have to have Jesus in your heart. And if you have Jesus in your heart, somebody ought to notify your face. I mean, goodness gracious, how many has enjoyed the Lord? Is there any such thing as enjoying the Lord? I know we're serving the Lord, but don't ever let your worship become work. If you let your worship become work, then you're only going to be work-centered and not worship-centered. And you're going to miss out on the relationship. Jonathan David, they had a relationship, and they exchanged robes. They cut covenant, put on each other's garment. It was symbolic of being endued and covered with each other. And even Jonathan gave him his sword. He gave him his robe. I mean, they were blood covenant brothers. I mean, that's what the church ought to be. Brother James, you and I are brothers, right? From another mother, but we are brothers. You know why? Because we have the same Father. I don't think y'all are getting this. The family of God is one because the God of the family is one. Yeah, see, we're all serving the same God here. But it's serious. It's endued, covered within the covenant. It's a powerful relationship. 1 John 5:14-15. Now, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Somebody praise God. He hears us. That's important. And it goes on as well. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Covenant is the key. So I think I want to show you Genesis 13, 14. Might be on the board. And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are. Northward, southward, eastward, westward. Pastor Ron, on this last message in this series, wants to encourage you to lift up your eyes. Hey, I know you took your shoes off during worship, but how many know after worship you put your shoes back on, you lift up your eyes, and you head out and do something for the Lord. And when you do something for the Lord, as we talked about the prayer of Jabez, after you receive the blessing, then you need to have the Lord's help to fulfill the calling to serve the Lord. Without him, we can do nothing, right? It's not like you give Jesus and then leave Jesus at the house and go do your thing. Everywhere you go, Jesus is with us. His hand is upon us. That's what Jabez is saying. Lord, bless me. Enlarge my territory. Keep your hand upon me. Keep evil away from me. Let me be effective. The effective, fervent prayer of righteous people does a lot. It moves the kingdom. And more than moving the kingdom, it moves us. It changes us. I said it changes us. So lift up your eyes. Some of us have settled where we are. We've lost our vision. We've forgotten our goals. We're just existing. We're not truly living for God. And God's calling Abraham, look up. See the new land. New territories I'm giving you. It's for us today too. Do not sit around. Get so focused on your current circumstances, where you are right now, that you forget who God called you to be. It's time to dream again. I said, it's time to dream again. I can see a day where we have so many youth, we don't know what to do with them. I see that day. Do you see that day? I'm just saying, it's like the legacy we show. You show one acorn. Show one acorn. How many know if all you see is an acorn is all you're going to have? But if you see an oak grove, then you have a whole lot of acorns. It's called seed. It's called faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You've got to start speaking it, start believing it, start holding on, start investing in it, start changing now so you can have affect the nations tomorrow. Not just here. Why, Joni and Gary was sent from here to affect those in Samoa, the children of Samoa, and the Julians, David and Amy, they affect the people over there in PNG, and the Nichols are in Thailand, affecting change, about to start another church because you prayed, because you were willing to send the very best you've got. It's not about hoarding and hiding and holding. It's about releasing and praying and ascending. Man, what you do today affects tomorrow. I wish somebody get this today. Help me out here. Access the covenant. Verse 17, arise, walk through the land. That's when he was talking to Abraham in chapter 13. In 17, he said, arise, Abraham, walk through the land, through its length and its width, for I give it to you. In other words, God's telling Abraham, the day you stop walking and seeing what I have for you is the day you begin limiting what I have done in your life. Our whole text, the series text, forget the things that were in the... I don't negate all the seeds of the seeds of glad tidings and the Johnsons, Gypsy Johnson and her husband, the pastors at that time, they planted a seed on the corner of Kickapoo and Harrison called Wayside Tabernacle. I wasn't born yet, but somebody was already sowing seed in this house before I ever was born. Isn't God have a sense of humor? He said, that bunch of people don't even know it, but I'm going to send them a bald-headed Cajun that is going to love them for 25 years or more, and we're going to build something for the kingdom of God. If that wasn't enough, he sent a hot-headed, red-blooded American Indian, Brother Webb, from Oklahoma. How many know God has sent 10 pastors in 80 years to do something in this house? We're not here by accident. How many know we have to live intentionally? And not all of us made the best decision. We didn't all, none of us were perfect, but all of us had one thing in mind. We're going to believe God And we're going to honor those who sowed seeds. But the seed didn't stop with you. If you sowed seed here, I mean, no, there are students right here. There are children right over there and students sitting right here that want to invest in the future of this house. I just want you to know that if you're a young adult, you was a kid. How many was raised right here at Oak Grove Assembly? Let me see you. Raised right here in the kids, in the nursery, in the kids, in the youth. You're going to be blown away when you see that facility. I don't want to say I'm sorry for where you were. I just want to say I'm happy for where you're going. All right? It was good. It was good for our forefathers. We made it. How many know we did what we had to do with what we had? We were good stewards. But I'm so proud, Oak Grove, about where we're about to go. And it takes prayer and investment, not just money. It takes prayer. It takes a relationship with God. God cares about the future of Oak Grove Assembly. So wouldn't you love to be in such close relationship and fellowship with favor with God that no matter what direction you move, right, left, north, south, east, west, traveling through the land, to new territories, did not God say he would bless the work of your hands? Wow. When you put prayer first, when you put the word first, when you put his wisdom first for guidance, there's no wrong move that you can make. Even in the seemingly bad circumstances can be turned into your favor when God is on your side. Even the things that man meant for harm, I mean, oh, God can turn it for better. What the enemy meant for evil, God can turn it for good. So don't ever stop praying. Don't ever give up, because God is taking you somewhere. And the relationship is really important. The only real regret you ever have is that you did not believe God for more. How much is enough, Pastor? Getting greedy? How much is a soul worth to you? I mean, is your family in? Your friends are in? You're all saved and on your way to heaven? What about the people who are not? Don't they ought to have a chance to know Jesus? I mean, wouldn't it be a good day for somebody to come to find Jesus this morning? And so sometimes when you're saved so long, when you've been born again for so long, you forget what it was to be lost. And when you forget what it means to be lost, then you're just in this bubble that says us four no more. But we busted that bubble many years ago. Aren't you glad for that? I said, aren't you glad for that? So I'm saying this morning, God's telling us to look up from where we are. It may be time to change course. It may be time to ask God for a new vision, a fresh dream for you, for your family. Ask him to enlarge your territory. He can. I said he can. I said he can. And I know he will. And I know he will. And so pray boldly. Ask God to show you what your life could be if you walk fully in his purpose. Dream outlandish dreams. I'm just here to tell you, dream big, for God's too big for you to dream small. What do you see? I remember on another occasion, God took Abram to outside and talked to him face to face, the Bible says. And obviously he was spirit. No man has seen God and lived, so he's spirit. But he spoke to him. He heard audibly God speak. And he looked to the stars, see if he can count them. So I can imagine Abraham looking up and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It's kind of like trying to count the ceiling tiles. Don't start doing that. Not finished preaching. After it's over and we leave, you can come in the house and count them all. I don't care. But right now, listen, Linda. All right. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I mean, it was impossible to count the stars. What God was trying to say was, as far as you can see. So have you limited God with your prayer requests? Have you only asked for a little bit when he has so much? This is the confidence we have in him. Amen? The covenant is key. We have access to God. To be concerned or limited by God's will for your life is like a minnow being concerned about being hemmed in by the Atlantic Ocean. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That minnow has a lot of swimming he can do in the Atlantic Ocean. It's not like he's in an aquarium, but I think some believers, spirit-filled believers, their prayer life is like they're trapped in a small bowl when God has so much more. I love the story of the big 18-wheeler truck. It's a story of an evangelist who was preaching, and he was on his way to the church, and he was on the interstate, and he saw the church, the steeple, right off the next exit. He could see the church, and he ran out of gas. How many know a preacher shouldn't run out of gas? But he did. Probably his wife didn't fill it up. I'm teasing. She never does fill it up. I'm the only one fills it up. But ran out of gas. He opens up the gas tank, lays his hand on it like a man of God would, and said, "Lord, please, I just need 1 ounce of gas. The church is right there. If you just give me maybe 4 ounces, I can get to where I want to go." And about that time, an 18-wheeler gasoline truck tanker just said, "How can I help you, boy?" He's asking for 4 ounces, and God has 5,000 gallons of gasoline. I'm asking about your prayer life. Are you just asking God just enough to get by? Help me get through the summer. Help me get through the week. Help me get through the month. Or are you saying, "God, enlarge my territory. Take the lid off of my life. Let me dream again. Let me trust you for big things." How many believe God still can do big things? Whatever you ask, believe that you shall have it. Believing is key. Covenant is key. Believing is key. Believe in the covenant, you access the covenant. It's ABCs. Access it, believe in it, connect to it. ABCs of prayer. And then accept the warfare. Accept the warfare. It's warfare. When you say yes to Jesus, I'm sweating, but I don't have anything to wipe it. It's okay. I'll just use it on my hand, wipe it on my hand. My wife loves that. Access it and then accept that it's warfare. It's not easy. If it was easy, everybody'd be praying all the time. It's warfare. In fact, when you walked in the church this morning, the first 5 minutes of worship is nothing but warfare. You start thinking about the week you had. You start thinking about the way you feel. You start thinking about the next week's problems. You can't even focus on the Lord because you're so preoccupied. How many know you're either worshiping Him at the moment or worrying? You can't worry and worship at the same time. How many are you going to have to shut off the fountain of worriness and weariness to turn on the fountain of worship and trust in faith? You can't have both. And you wonder why you get through service and you don't feel like you're leaving any more changed than you did when you came in. Because you're devoting all your time to worry and not worship. It's warfare. You got to cast down every evil and every anything that sets itself up against God. You got to pull that down. It's called strongholds. Believers have to deal with strongholds. They come into all of our lives. Like last week, we talked about temptation. Everybody has them, but not everybody succumbs to them. I still believe that 7,000 have not bowed their knee to Baal. Those three Hebrew boys said, you can turn the music all the way up. I'm not going to bow to no idol. I am covenant relationship with Yahweh. I mean, no, that's a big decision, and it causes warfare. I mean, why does he talk about putting on armor in Ephesians 6:10? It's warfare. The whole thing culminates in how we should pray. So, because you're going into battle. Jesus is our armor. He's our covering. We're in the covenant. He is our strength. He is our belt of truth. He's to truth. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. I'm the breastplate of righteousness, he said. He is the breastplate. 1 John 2:1, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone does sin, it means it's possible because you're not perfect yet. The presence of sin is still in the world today. I said there's still a tempter, an accuser of the brethren. You're in a warfare. Does anybody know we're in a fight for our faith? So he's fighting us. But if anybody does sin, the good news is we have an advocate with the Father. We have a covering. We have Jesus. He's the righteous. He's our shoes of peace. Ephesians 2:14, he himself is our peace, who has broken down every wall of partition that keeps us from hearing and talking to God. Jesus opened up a new and living way. Amen? He's our shield of faith. Genesis 15:1, whenever Abraham made the covenant, said, I am your shield, your exceeding great reward. It's not a drudgery to follow Jesus. It's a reward. It's not a job description. It's not a duty. It's a desire. I want to talk to God, don't you? And I want him to hear me. I want to come into him. And I want him to come into me. I am my beloved's and he is mine. And his banner over me is love. Whether you like me or not, I'm not sure. But I know who loves me. How many know that God loves you? Well, then just surrender your life to him. It's just that simple. Get into covenant. He's our helmet of salvation. Luke 2:30, my eyes have seen your salvation. That's what Simeon said. My eyes have seen your salvation. He's an old man by this time. He'd been waiting for Messiah his whole life. He sees Jesus and he says, Messiah's here. Please, baby, thank you so much. Give it up for the first lady. I mean, she can't even exist if sweat is on my brow. Woo, what a helpmate. I feel the glory of the Lord. What a helpmate. So the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. I mean, no, John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is our covering. We have a relationship with Jesus Christ, the righteous. Every spiritual gift you ever need is in Christ. Every promise God ever made is yea and amen through Christ. He's the difference maker. How many love preaching about Jesus or hearing about Jesus? So cover yourself with Jesus. You are blessed. You are dressed to be blessed. Accept the fact that prayer can be warfare at time. And then finally, before we got to get out of here, acknowledge the relationship. Matthew 6:9-13 is the Lord's Prayer. It's the Lord's Prayer. And you've quoted it. You want to say it with me? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine, what a prayer. We don't have time to break it down, but you prayed it since you were a little kid. Prayer is more than blessing the spaghetti at the table. So much more. It's so much more. It's everything. It's relationship. And it's a model. Effective prayer is like a child talking to his father. That's what Jesus is saying. Our Father, he's just talking to him. If you've never surrendered your life to Christ, this morning we're going to give you an opportunity. And it's just like, you know, talking to your father. And you know how it is when you had children and they ask you, anybody ever have a child ask you why? Anybody? Yeah. Anybody ever ask a child ask you when? So they ask you for stuff. And as a parent, you might say one of three answers. Yes. Don't they love that? They're conditioned to have their way because they are children. Many adults are children in an adult body, conditioned to have their way. And they can't handle it when God says no. They don't mind when God says wait. But how many of you told your kids, okay, yes, but wait. Yes, but wait. And an eternity passes by. And 2.5 minutes later, they're saying, is it time now? Is the wait over? Is it over? Is it over? Is it over? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? That's just immaturity. And what Pastor and Melissa want is for you to have a mature prayer life. That's the goal of this whole series. If you want to walk out of here changed, you got to step it up in the area of praise and prayer. Those are like the spiritual disciplines that are elementary, my dear Watson. It doesn't have to be King James. God understands regular English. He understands Spanish. If you speak Spanish, French, all ethos, every ethnic, every language. Every language he understands. You can speak in your language, your native language. I try to speak to him in Spanish, but he doesn't answer. Probably because I butcher it. But you can call on him regardless of your limitations in terminologies. Call on the Lord and he will answer. Like a father as to the child. 1 Peter 5:7 says, come to Jesus. Just come and cast all your cares on him. Why? Why? What's the why, Pastor? Because he cares for you. He cares enough to say no sometimes. And you have to accept no. Because his no, how many know the Father knows what's best? His no is important. Just take it and just roll with it. It's not the end of the world because you didn't get your way. Just go with it. He knows better. And his no might be yes later on. Who knows? But rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. So here's just a hint or two before we get out of here. We got 10 minutes and we'll be done. Realize that God wants to answer, but you have to pray. Have to pray. I mean, the unoffered prayer may not become an answered prayer. The answered prayer is contingent to the prayer that was given. If you don't pray, what did James say? You have not. You didn't even bother to ask. So don't be asking, where's my answer? You didn't even ask for anything. You say, well, he knows what I need before I even ask. Why do I pray? Because he wants to talk to you. Just like I want to talk to you, but I'm preaching and you don't want to talk back sometimes. So realize you have not because you asked, simply because you didn't ask. Quit trying to do things in your own strength and ask God. Your problem is not too big for God to handle. Our problem is a prayer problem. Just release your burden to the Lord. He cares about you. I know you might have broken trust with man. How many know man can disappoint you? But as long as I've been serving the Lord 43 years, he has never disappointed me, and I'm not even going to say yet. How many of you say the Lord has been faithful to you all your life in Christ? He's never going to disappoint you because he don't do that. But he wants to grow you. And when we pray, God moves into action. It releases divine resources of wisdom and strength, provision, protection for you to become what he's calling you. He's calling something out of you. And Satan wants to hinder you from getting what God wants out of you. And that's the warfare. Are y'all with me? Are y'all understanding what's happening here? So quit trying to do it on your own and let God be God and every man a liar. It's more than just missing an opportunity for a blessing. 1 Samuel 12:23, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord. Look at that, serious. In ceasing to pray for you. Wow. We can do more than pray after we have prayed, but we can never do more than pray until we have prayed. Don't let prayer be a last resort. I'm closing this series on a very serious note. Make prayer a priority. Allow prayer to be a privilege, an attitude that catapults you into another dimension. If all you need, if everything you need is in this dimension, it's all going to be temporary. But if you ask God to give you things that are eternal, how many know that'll last forever and ever? So your life is as great as your prayer life. Your motive matters. James says, don't ask amiss. Watch your motives. And I want to close with a couple of principles. Chrissy, you can come. If you're taking notes, here's a couple of principles, and we're going to call on the Lord. Some people may come to Christ this morning. It's our biggest prayer for you all week, is if you're out there without God, without hope, that you surrender your life to Jesus. How many know that's our number one prayer? And then, of course, we want to pray for the saints. We want them to have the blessed life and needs met and whatnot. So we'll intercede with you in a little bit, too. But here's a few things you need to write down. Number one, sensitivity to the Holy Spirit is crucial. The Holy Spirit speaks. Jesus is in heaven praying for you. The Holy Spirit is here in you, speaking to you. Not audibly, but in your spirit. Your spirit can discern the Spirit speaking to you, and you can be sensitive to that. Just be sensitive to that. If you're at work and you're just minding your business, trying to get through the day, and the Holy Spirit says, hey, why don't you go to room so-and-so and talk to JoJo or Sally about the Lord? Well, just be sensitive to that. And simple obedience would be your friend. How many know the Lord knows how to set up divine appointments? So be sensitive. Number two, submit to the Father and His will. Quit fighting against God. He's already spoken. Just go with what he said. Don't fight against it. Don't be hindered by it. And certainly you don't want to, like, resent the Lord for not giving you what you thought you needed. Don't you think you know what your children need more than they do? So when Hudson gets 9 o'clock, 9 years old, Hudson, and he comes to Poppy, he says, I want a candy apple red Corvette. I'm going to say no. I will buy it for me, and when you get old enough, I'll drive it, let you drive it. You know, that's what I'll say. Why did I say no? Just because I don't want him to have a candy apple red Corvette? No, because he can't reach the pedal. Well, as tall as he's getting, he might be able to. He's not experienced to handle the answer. Are y'all seeing that? God knows what you need when you need it. So submit to the Father's will. Number three, stand firm against the enemy. And number four, separate yourself from the world. This idea that you can run with the world and the church at the same time is ludicrous. Serious. You got to be serious toward God's purposes. Make prayer a priority. Everything centers around your prayer life. Center your day around your devotions. Life has schedules, so schedule prayer in. Prayer gives victory and removes obstacles. Shut the door behind you. Shut Satan's mouth. Shut distractions of the world out. Pray in secret. Let God work it out publicly. Stay with it. Don't quit. Keep showing up, even when you don't understand or feel like it. God will bless your faithfulness. Say, Pastor, what kind of pattern of prayer? I can prioritize it, but what kind of pattern? Go back and read the Lord's Prayer. You will see praise, priority, provision, pardon, power, praise. You'll see all that. And learn a trick, a secret, Pastor, learn. Because I don't sit well. I don't wait well. I don't sit in silence well. Just how I'm wired. I know none of you know that. So when I pray, I pace and I talk out loud. That's me. You find your way and spend some time with God. And prayer is the test to see if you really believe in God or not. Are you able to believe it? Do you really believe he can fulfill your dreams and the plans he has called you? Do you think God can do what he said he was going to do? How many believe, you know, the statement Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. How many believe that's going to come to pass? You better believe it is. You better believe it is, because he don't need me to build his church. It's going to happen with or without me. So I challenge you this morning. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Take the prayer of Jabez. Learn how to praise. Learn how to pray. Learn how to walk in freedom. Move into freedom. Move into missions. Move into ministry and miracles. Move into praise and prayer.